welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Well, just a couple things before we get started today on our focus topic of the week, which is going to be all about the serve. We're going to spend a whole show on the serve today because it is the most important shot in tennis. Before we get to that, real quickly, first of all, I just wanted to apologize for a couple errors I made in podcast number 41. A couple different times I said I would be back November 1st, which was obviously not correct. I'm back today, which is December 1st. And for some reason, I kept thinking of November. But anyway, back today on December 1st for number 42. Secondly, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to DTD in Philadelphia. He wrote and said to me, a thank you. I have recently stumbled upon your website and podcasts, and I think they're fantastic. I played many years ago as a junior and have rediscovered the fun when my son became interested in learning the game. I share your podcast with my tennis friends. Cheers, DTD. Well, thank you very much. I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you for that note. And the reason why I'm doing that here on the podcast is a topic that brings me to my final point here before we get started. When you guys send me emails or when you send me questions, comments, concerns, etc., please make sure that my email address is in your email settings as an allowed address to come through so that it doesn't get picked up by your spam filter. DTD was nice enough to send me this email last week, and I tried to respond to him several times, but my email address is being blocked by his spam filter. So I just wanted to let him know that I did get his note, and thank you very much. It's those kind of comments that really keep me fired up and motivated, so I appreciate it very much. But to anybody who sends me questions, please make sure that ian@essentialtennis.com is allowed through in your spam filter, in your email settings, so that I can get back in touch with you to respond to your question or comments or anything else. Okay, let's go ahead and get going on today's topic. Sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus Topic of the Week.
Okay, let's get to work here. We have a lot of stuff to cover. Today's focus topic is going to be the serve. And I'm almost a little embarrassed that we haven't done a full show on the serve before. It's a very, very important topic. Obviously, we've talked about specific parts of the serve before on the podcast, but this is going to be the first time that we're going to dedicate an entire show to the serve. Now, the reason why I'm a little embarrassed we haven't done a full show on the serve before is it's often referred to as the most important shot in tennis. And I'm not going to argue with that. It's so important because obviously a tennis point cannot be started without putting a serve in play. If you don't know how to hit an effective serve or hit a serve, you can't play tennis. You have to be able to make a good serve in order to be successful at tennis, period. And it's also the only time in a tennis match that you have the ability to set the ball up to yourself and do whatever you want with it. And so it's very important to have the ability to pressure your opponent with your serve because it's your only chance to really do whatever you want with the ball. And to not take full advantage of that is really just a waste. You need to be able to use your serve to your full potential, to your skills potential, and wherever you're at in your game right now. If you don't have a serve that's comparable to your overall level, or hopefully even a little bit stronger than your overall level, then you're kind of doing a disservice to yourself. You need to develop your serve because it's an incredibly important shot, most important shot in tennis. In my opinion, and in the opinion of lots of other pros I've spoken with, the serve is also by far the most difficult technically. It's a very complicated motion. There's many, many physical things going on all at once, and they all kind of converge and come together at the point of contact to all work together towards hitting an effective shot. In previous podcasts, we have discussed creating power in your serve specifically, and I've identified before at least five different physical things that are working together to create a good, you know, powerful or whatever else you're going for, spin, power. There's at least five different things that are working all together physically in order to accomplish that. You have your legs that are bending down and then pushing up. You have your shoulder tilt, which is the angle of your shoulders. If you just stand straight up and down, your shoulders are parallel to the ground or parallel to the court. On a good serve, your shoulders will tilt and create an angle upwards towards the ball with your shoulders. So there's your legs, there's the shoulder tilt, there's also the rotation of your core. Your body overall will, in a good serve, will rotate back and then forwards again towards the court to use your entire core as a source of power. There's also the shoulder and forearm pronation, the rotation of your shoulder and forearm from inside to outside that creates racket head speed. And there's also weight transfer into the court, your body overall moving forwards into the point of contact. Those are five different physical things that all need to work together at the same time and be coordinated. If all those things are not coordinated together correctly, you're going to suffer, or at least you're not going to get your full potential out of the shot. All of this has to be done while the racket is moving along a correct path. You have to bring your racket back correctly, up, let it drop down behind you, and then swing upwards. That needs to be done loosely and relaxedly, while you're doing those five things. And there's more we could talk about, and we're going to talk about some different things today. But I just want to give you guys a good sense that, listen, the serve is very complicated, it's very important, and that's why we're doing a whole show on it today, on some specific topics having to do with your technique. With all those things in mind, if you struggle with your serve, you are not alone. Don't feel bad if you have a hard time hitting an effective serve, or if your serve has just kind of always been a crutch for you. It's always been something that when it's your turn to serve in doubles, you think, oh, crap, great, now I have to serve. This game is going to be tough. You're not alone. There's a lot of players that struggle with their serve. It's a very complicated athletic skill, and oftentimes takes players a whole lifetime to become good at. Well, today we're going to discuss four different style choices in the serve, how they affect your ability to hit a quality serve, and those things kind of make up your overall style or technique that you may use. The idea for today's show comes to us from John on the forums. He goes by Fight Fan, and he wrote and said, "Hey Ian, if you have the inclination, I'd be interested in a podcast discussing serve techniques. Specifically, I'm interested in some of the pros and cons of some fundamental differences you see quite often." And then he lists four different technique differences or different techniques that you see differences in. And we're going to go through those one at a time. His first one that he wanted to know about is stance. And he lists three different stance options: platform versus pinpoint versus step. And then he says, starting with the platform stance and moving to a pinpoint stance during the motion. Well, we're going to talk about those. Basically, the two main ones are platform versus step, that he calls it step. I'm going to refer to it as toe drag. And first of all, before we actually get to the actual differences of those two main stances, I want to talk quickly about what is essential in your serve stance. As you guys will see in a couple of minutes, which stance you use isn't going to make or break your serve. However, when it comes to your stance, there are at least two things that will. What's essential in your stance is that you begin with at least 90 degrees to the baseline with your feet lined up. If you draw a line from the tip of your shoe on your left foot to the tip of your shoe on your right foot, that line should create at least a 90-degree angle between you and the baseline, if not more than that. All professional players, as far as I'm aware, maybe somebody will come back with an example of this that I'm not aware of, but as far as I know, every professional player has a stance of more than 90 degrees to the baseline. That means that as you set up for your serve, your right foot is behind the left foot for a righty. So your left foot is out in front of your right is a little bit back behind you and farther back than your left foot. So you're making a greater than 90 degree angle between the line that your feet are on and the line of the baseline. This starts the core turned to the side. That's the whole purpose of starting with a stance that's 90 degrees or more, is that it gets your body turned to the side. That was one of the main five ways of producing power that I talked about a little bit earlier in this podcast and also in previous podcasts. After the toss, high-level players rotate their core even further back from that position. So their back will actually face the net, and then that range of motion transfers back forwards again around towards the court. So a high-level player or any professional player starts with more than 90 degrees, their stance in relation to the baseline. And so if you just stand relaxedly in that position, your body will be facing straight to the right, or maybe even a little more than to the right, a little bit more towards the back of the court. After high-level players toss the ball, they will further rotate their core backwards so that their back actually becomes facing towards the net in many cases. Depends on individual players exactly how far that rotation goes, but they rotate even further in the direction of facing their back towards the net to coil their core, to rotate their core. And then all of that rotation gets transferred back forwards again towards the ball. That's a very important function of your stance, is that you get yourself turned enough so that you have a good range of motion with your core to rotate back towards the ball. Secondly, all high-level players also transfer their weight forwards into the court. And we talked about that as well a little bit earlier. Either from a platform stance or from a toe drag stance where their back foot is coming up, either way, high-level players always transfer their weight forwards into the court and typically finish well inside the baseline when they're done with their service swing. Now, I'm going to describe real quickly the difference between these two stances. A platform stance starts wide. Platform is referring to how wide the feet start apart. And wide, in my opinion, would be at least shoulder width apart, if not maybe even a little bit more than shoulder width apart. And in a platform stance, the stance stays wide during the service motion, and the feet don't really move until as contact is being made, at which point that right foot is going to come up and then around. As the core rotates forwards, that back foot, the right foot, if you're a right-handed player, will come up and around and actually land inside the court first. High-level players very typically land with their balance on their right foot after their body has rotated it around completely and then into the court. So a platform stance starts wide and stays wide until after contact has been made, at which point that right foot comes around. A toe drag is different. It starts wide as well. It starts in very, very much the same position as a platform stance, but the back foot will drag up to meet the front foot, usually during the toss, as the toss is being made. So the stance will start wide, and then as the toss is being made, the back foot will come up to kind of form, well, pinpoint is actually a pretty good way of describing that, that's referring to both of the feet being together underneath the player. So you're kind of pushing off of more of a pinpoint location with both feet in, relatively speaking, the same spot on the courts. Now, there are many professional players who use both very effectively. Not both meaning the same player uses both, but there are many professional players who use each stance. As an example of each, Roger Federer uses a platform stance. He starts off wide, and he stays wide until he makes his swing towards the ball. And an example of a pinpoint stance would be Rafa Nadal. He starts wide, and he's left-handed, so he brings his left foot up to meet his right, and then pushes up towards the ball with both feet together below him. So obviously two very, very good players, they use different stances or different types of ways of using their feet in order to hit an effective serve. When I teach somebody to serve from scratch, I usually have them try both to see which is more natural, and then we go with whichever one feels best to them right away. I don't sweat that very much because I know that I can develop a good serving player using either stance. The important things are you get turned to the side and that you're able to transfer your weight forwards into the court as you make your serve. If you can do both those things, I think either stance is great. And I don't think one is necessarily better than the other. There's plenty of good players that use both.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
All right, let's get to our next serve topic brought to us by John, which is the racket take back to your trophy pose. Now, take back refers to, well, it's self-explanatory, the actual taking back of the racket. Most good players start with their hands together in front of them. Their racket hand and the tossing hand will start together. And then at some point, there is initiated the actual service motion, which is taking the racket back and preparing to go back to the trophy pose. The trophy pose is, again, what it sounds like. If you've ever seen a tennis trophy, oftentimes you get that guy up on top of it who's in a service stance where his body is turned to the side. He has one arm straight up, and he has his other arm with the racket back. This is called a trophy pose. You can probably picture that in your head pretty easily. The trophy pose is generally accepted as kind of the most essential part of the actual mechanics of a serve, and that is getting your shoulders turned to the side. Your shoulders also tilted. That's part of the opposite hand pointing up in the air, and then the racket arm coming back. So again, getting your shoulders turned to the side. Now, John mentions three different racket takebacks here, all going up to the trophy pose, and they are traditional tossing arm and serving arm down and up together versus Sampras style serving arm lags behind the tossing arm, i.e. tossing arm up and serving arm down, versus the third one, abbreviated, which is the Andy Roddick style of serving. The serving arm starts up in a trophy pose. Basically, the dominant arm comes straight up rather than coming down at all and looping down and back up again. The racket hand brings the racket straight up to a trophy pose. Those are our three main choices there. And I've got just a couple of things here to comment on that. John wants to know which of those is best. All three styles have been used by the world's best players over the years. And he mentioned two of them there. Sampras kind of having that style of the tossing arm lagging back a little bit and getting that shoulder tilt right away. And then Roddick being the first person to really make the abbreviated motion popular, or he was the first person to really use it effectively and powerfully. And he obviously still has the biggest serve in the game, so it can't be too bad, right? And then the old school traditional down together, up together, kind of loose and fluid motion that was kind of back in the day. You don't really see that anymore, at least from professional players. Now, personally, I was actually originally taught the traditional method of starting with your hands in front and bringing your hands down together and then up together. And over the years, I've adapted to somewhere in between a traditional service take back and an abbreviated take back. I do start with my hands together still in front. I don't bring my racket all the way down and then all the way up again back behind me. However, I don't bring it straight up either, like Roddick or Nadal would do. It's kind of somewhere in between. I start bringing my racket down, and then it kind of comes up halfway in between a traditional style and a really abbreviated style, again, like Roddick would do. So I'm kind of in between those two styles myself. As with the stance, I believe it's fully possible to have a world-class serve with any of those three styles. And over the last 20 years, we've seen very, very good players use all three of those styles. So I don't think one is necessarily going to be better than any of the other two, especially for a recreational level player, or, you know, an amateur player, basically. For somebody like us, and I put myself in that category, I was never a professional player where I made my income playing tennis and competing at tennis. For players like us who aren't out making a living at it, I think any of those three can be perfectly good and become very strong as long as the rest of your motion is fundamentally solid. The important thing is getting to that trophy pose and allowing the racket to drop behind you to get that range of motion of dropping the racket and then swinging back upwards again. If you can get to a good trophy pose with your body to the side, and you can use take advantage of those five different ways of creating power that we talked about earlier, using any three of those motions, you can have a powerful serve. And I can emulate all three of those very easily and hit a good serve with any three of them. It's all about the mechanics of what you're doing with the rest of your body. And once again, as I teach beginners, I allow them to do whatever is most comfortable to them. And as they toss and take the racket back, you know, within reason, I allow them to do whatever is comfortable. It's the rest of the mechanics that are important once the racket gets back to that trophy pose position. Okay, we have two more here. Next up is grip position. And in John's post, he says, normal versus, I hear some servers like to grip lower on the racket. This topic's going to be a little bit quicker. And John, I'll tell you my thoughts here. Most good players grip the racket all the way down at the bottom of the grip. And I'm going to qualify all the way down for you using myself as an example. When I hold my racket for a serve, the bottom edge of my pinky finger, meaning the edge that goes along the bottom of my hand, if I try to karate chop somebody with the bottom of my hand, as that line of the bottom of my hand goes up along my pinky, that's what I mean by the bottom edge of my pinky finger. The bottom edge of my pinky finger is almost off the edge of the grip as I hold my grip for a serve with a continental grip. So my pinky, the bottom edge of my hand, as it goes down along my pinky finger, is all the way down at the bottom most part of the grip and almost right on the edge of the bottom of the grip where the butt cap is down at the bottom there. That means that half of the heel of my hand is actually off the grip completely. I'm in a continental grip, and my knuckles are spread out across the grip. The bottom edge of my pinky finger is right around the bottom edge of the grip, and so kind of the bottom part of the heel of my hand, where the hand comes up by the wrist there on the bottom part of your hand, half of the heel of my hand is actually off the grip. This does two things. It gives you more leverage, or rather the most amount of leverage possible with the racket while still hanging on to it. Makes it a little bit longer by gripping it all the way down at the bottom. And secondly, it helps promote a loose hand and wrist. When I was learning from my coach growing up when I was younger, he used to have students hit serves with only the thumb, middle finger, and forefinger on the grip, meaning the pinky and the ring finger were actually not even on the grip. They were off the grip completely. And he would have students hit serves with just those three fingers slowly, not at a full pace because he didn't want them chucking the racket down into the court. But he would have players serve with just those three fingers, with the ring finger and pinky finger off the grip, to get a feeling of having a good loose grip on the racket. Now, as far as whether or not gripping the racket down at the bottom completely is going to make or break your serve, no, I don't think it's going to. It's, to a certain extent, probably personal preference. On the other hand, I would wager that a very large majority of high-level players, 5.0 and above, probably grip the racket very similarly to what I just described that I do, with your hand really all the way down at the bottom of the grip. And for the two reasons I described, more leverage and helps promote a looser hand and wrist, I think those are two very important parts of having a high-level serve. So check out your grip, John, and see where you are as you set up for a serve. If your entire hand is up on the grip, if the heel of your hand is completely on the grip or maybe above the bottom of the grip, I would definitely experiment with allowing your hand to come down a little bit lower for the reasons that I talked about. Okay, on to our last topic here. And John titles this last one as Serve Choices. And he wrote, what to go for on the first serve? Flat, topspin, slice. For example, is it better to go for a lower percentage 100 mile per hour flat serve or a higher percentage 90 mile per hour spin serve, etc.? Same for a second serve, a high percentage 70 mile per hour spin or a super high percentage 60 mile an hour floater, etc. Perhaps more importantly, when to go for each type of serve. Well, you kind of answered your own question there a little bit, John. When it comes to choosing what type of serve to use, when is really 100% it. That's really what's in question here, is when. And specifically, when is a function of match situation, meaning you're going to decide when to use all of those different options that you have available to yourself that you mentioned. You're going to decide when based on what the situation is in the match. And I wrote down a couple examples of that, match situations that would determine what type of serve to use would be the score in the game and the set. What the score is in both the game and the set would be a determinant as far as what type of serve to use, where your opponent is positioning themselves to return your serves on each side of the court, the deuce side and the ad side, your opponent's strengths and weaknesses, your own strengths and weaknesses as they pertain to your serve specifically, and lastly, I wrote down patterns of play, what you've been trying to achieve once the point starts. If you're trying to attack a certain way during the point, that can determine what type of serve you're going to use to try to set yourself up for a certain pattern of play once the point actually starts. So those are all different things that they're all going to combine and collaborate together to determine what is the best serve to use in this situation. In general, variety is key, and you need to be able to hit with different spins and speeds and placements and combinations of those variables. You need to be able to hit a hard spin serve down the tee on the deuce side, and you also need to be able to hit a flat serve out wide on the deuce side or a kick serve at the body on the ad side or a hard flat serve down the tee on the ad side. You have to be able to mix those up, and variety is really the key in most circumstances. You want to keep your opponent guessing and off balance, kind of like a baseball pitcher would, or football. Good offense will mix up different looks and keep the defense guessing or keep the batter guessing in baseball. Not knowing what's coming next is going to keep them uncomfortable and unsure of what they're going to be doing. And I talked right at the beginning of this podcast, this is so important that you're able to do this. It's the only time you get to set yourself up, toss the ball to yourself, and hit whatever you want. And if you can't mix up what you're doing with your serve, you need to get out and start practicing it immediately. The only exception to variety would be when you uncover a glaring weakness. So, for example, if your opponent's backhand is just bad, if they just are not good at hitting backhand ground strokes, obviously you need to do whatever possible to get your serve to their backhand side if it's immediately giving you the upper hand in your points. And oftentimes, myself being a left-handed player, this was kind of my bread and butter on the serve, especially in doubles. Because my spin curves from left to right, or from my opponent's standpoint, from their right to their left, playing right-handed players, that's immediately what I would go to in the beginning of a match. Can they hit an aggressive backhand ground stroke, return of serve, cross-court? Can they do that? And if they couldn't, my spin, this is part of why people hate playing left-handed players, the spin of my serve, of a slice serve, curves over to their backhand side. And so I would just dominate that player's backhand sides, and doubles especially, where I have a competent partner up at the net who has good volleys and is confident in crossing over and taking whatever possible. I would just hit backhand after backhand after backhand to players who didn't have a confident backhand. And forget about variety. If you find a weakness that's bad, just exploit it again and again and again. Besides that, variety is going to be the big key to your service game. And, you know, I'm sorry, John, I've been kind of vague in my answer here, but the reality is, knowing exactly what serve to use really is going to be completely determined by all those other variables that we talked about. So I can't give you, you know, a blueprint. Okay, this is the serve you always use now. You know, when it's 2-1, your serve, 30-15, and you're playing a left-handed player, you always serve here. Well, no, it's not that simple. It's going to be determined by all the variables we talked about a couple minutes ago. So, John, there's your podcast on the serve. We covered a lot of stuff there and could have gone into a lot of detail more than what we did with a lot of this, but hopefully that answers your questions. Thanks very much for posting on the forums. Okay, that does it for the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 42. Thank you so much for joining me today. Lastly here, I would like to announce another contest. We've had a couple of different contests here at Essential Tennis, and since the holidays are coming up, let's go ahead and do a holiday-themed contest. I'm going to give away a couple different things here. I've got three packs of Head FXP, which is a premium synthetic gut. It's a multi-filament synthetic gut produced for control and touch. I've got three packs of Head FXP and also one pack of three Extreme Soft Head overgrips. So three sets of strain and also three overgrips as well. That'll get you started on 2009 with your tennis. All you have to do is go to essentialtennis.com, click on forums, and go to general discussion down at the bottom of the forums, and I'm going to start a topic that'll be stickied up at the top called 2009 Tennis New Year's Resolutions. All you have to do is go and post your New Year's resolution specifically for your tennis game. Tell me what your New Year's resolution is for your tennis. Could be on improving a certain stroke, or improving your strategy against a certain type of player, or maybe improving your equipment for 2009. Whatever your New Year's resolution is having to do with tennis specifically, just tell us briefly, or in a long paragraph if you want, however much you want to write. And out of everybody who posts their New Year's resolution, I will do a random drawing to win the three packs of strain and three overgrips. So have some fun with it, and I look forward to a lot of participation, hopefully. And I will announce the winner in 2 weeks. They'll give you guys till the 15th to go over there, sign up for the forums, and post your New Year's resolution for your tennis game. Okay, that does it for this week. Thanks very much for joining me. Have a great week, everybody. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.